Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Jazz pianist Art Tatum will be performing this weekend at the Apollo. I know, he's been dead since 1956. It won't be Tatum in the flesh, of course, but a dramatic new show features the playing of Art Tatum accomplished through an innovative technology developed by a North Carolina software company called Zenth. Zenth has taken out all of the hiss, distortion, the crummy edits of Tatum's 1930s and 40s recordings to present a re-performance. It's also out on a new CD from Sony BMG, and joining us to explain how it all happened is John Q. Walker, the founder and president of Zenth. John, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks, John.
So you did this with Art Tatum. You did it last year with Glenn Gould's famous 1955 recording of the Bach Goldberg Variations. What makes this different from those player piano roles that could also play back a performance?
Got it. Player piano rolls simply didn't have enough bits, I guess is a good way to describe it. They were wonderful technology, and thank God we had 100 years to build on. But what's happened in the meantime is there are HD is the best way to describe it. High resolution, computer-generated playback, and man, is it precise. You can get every touch and nuance out of it.
So with a player piano, the pianist would sit down at the instrument and strike a note, and the hole would get punched. Mm-hmm. And whether he struck it kind of hard or kind of soft would be lost. The hole was still punched.
The systems got a little better toward the 20s, right. But it wasn't really high resolution as you think of it today.
So with a computer now, you can kind of discern that kind of subtle gradation of touch, of tone, of pedaling, all that kind of stuff?
If you think what a recording is, it's the exact capture of what happened at the moment it was performed. And so we're working backwards to figure out exactly how they played their fingers, how they pressed the key down, the microsecond it went down, and all these kinds of things.
All right, so the CD version of this Art Tatum sounds pristine. It's absolutely clean. You know, there's no hiss or anything like that. Would it have been possible, eventually with recording technology to take those early 30s and 40s recordings and just clean them up to the point where you could have something that's, I guess what I'm asking is, what is the difference? Why did you choose this approach rather than come up with software that would just have cleaned up the original?
Because the difference is we now have Art Tatum, the virtual musician, who can play anytime, anywhere, with anyone, on any instrument. Okay, so it's not a remastering. It's him playing there in the room. And the new recording is one with new microphones in different positions, different piano, tuned, however we choose. But in fact, we could go back and record with an old gramophone if we chose. Mm-hmm. So we've separated the performance out from the medium. And that's what's never happened before.
And that enables you to actually present this in a live kind of show.
That's right.
As you're doing at the Apollo tonight and again on Sunday night. Why Art Tatum?
Leonard Feather, the great jazz writer, said he was probably the greatest performer on any instrument in any genre. If you asked Rachmaninoff whose favorite pianist was, it was Tatum.
Yeah.
Gershwin, it was Tatum. Horowitz wanted to be Tatum. There's a story of Horowitz writing out a carefully done transcription of one of the popular songs at the time, coming in, playing it for Art Tatum, and Art Tatum said, "Wow, that's amazing. And you know what? You could have also done this, and you could have done this," and he sat down and improvised those things, and kind of Horowitz was crestfallen.
So he had a very kind of almost rapid fire. You could hear the synapses in his brain firing as the guy sat down at the keyboard, which meant that although he played it that way that day, later that day, and certainly the next day, he would have played it completely differently.
Actually, that's not our observation. There's some of these recordings, the Humoresque, in fact, is on this album, and there's also video of Tatum recording it different than the one that's in the concert. and within 200 milliseconds, they're identical.
You mean in time-wise?
In time, you know, you can show this video of a totally different take, and yet the things match up because, in a way, he was playing it so consistently. And we also could see that he almost never lost time.
Mm. Yeah. Well, all right, let's hear a little bit. This is the original Art Tatum recording of the Humoresque. There's some great playing there, although you might have to take my word for it because the recording is nothing to write home about. But now here is Art Tatum in that re-performance courtesy of the new Zenf technology playing the same piece. Art Tatum's Humoresque. It's Art Tatum's performance, I guess. John Q. Walker is the founder and president of Zenf, the North Carolina software company that has accomplished this re-performance. So yes, it is his performance, although he's not there at the time that the recording was made. So this is being played on a Yamaha disc clavier. It's a true grand piano.
It's with a 9-foot concert grand. It's called a disc clavier pro. Actually, Yamaha has two different models, and the Pro is the HD model.
Okay.
Got it.
So it's capable of handling your technology, your software.
1,000 levels of touch.
So the things that strike me about hearing the two pianos, the one recorded over half a century, 60, 70 years ago, and the one that you just recorded recently, much cleaner sound and different key.
Ah, so this is, we almost had to do a bit of archaeology here, which has been very fascinating. The original was 38 cents flat, so about a half of a step. About a quarter of a step. And it was this question that said, you know, was the piano out of tune? Was the tape too fast, too slow? What's going on? And we went back and examined other performances by Tatum. We talked to the Tatum experts, Felicity Howlett, Arnold Laubich, wonderful people. And we decided that this was an early reel-to-reel recording, and the current CD had it played back too slowly. So we restored the original key this is in, I think it's in the key of G, as Tatum would have played it that night.
So the version that people had been listening to for years...
Tatum's playing too slow. He plays actually faster than that.
I don't think I've ever heard the words Art Tatum and too slow in the same sentence before.
By about a quarter of a step, yeah.
And you made your recording in the exact same room
right.
that Art Tatum made his recording
right. What
in.
You heard was a Shrine concert, you know, his only big concert performance in the Shrine Auditorium. We went back and found the same spot on the stage, had a live audience there, and we recorded it all over again.
Now, you're doing that here in New York. You did it last night at the mm-hmm. Apollo, tonight and Sunday at the Apollo. What is the audience seeing?
They're seeing a play. We call it a two-man show. The star is Paul Butler. You may have seen him. Detective Clemens on Crime Story, if you remember that from 20 years ago. Excellent actor who owns a jazz club. And he's talking about his lifelong relationship with Art Tatum. And as he thinks of things, almost in a dream sequence, he looks over and the piano plays. Mm. And so you're hearing the experience of being in the room as Tatum plays. But it's multimedia, and you're learning about the life of Tatum and New York and Harlem and life.
And then at those moments where he's remembering mm-hmm. the pieces, the piano just has at it.
There's a Steinway grand on stage, and it's just playing superbly.
Is there a piano bench?
there's a piano bench, but there's no visuals. And so just think of it as, you know, an amazing audio experience. You're not hearing it through speakers. You're hearing a grand piano play on stage. And you're also getting to watch the keys as they move. And this has been a surprise to a lot of jazz academic. You know, we never knew how Tatum did this or how he reached it. And now you can see it happen.
So are you projecting the keys, the movement of the keys for
yes.
the audience? To
you obviously can watch it firsthand, and it's also projected up on a screen.
Okay. Yeah, because if you're beyond the first couple of rows there in the Apollo, it would be hard to...
No. Actually, the Apollo's a great venue, especially up on the first balcony.
That's true.
You look down on
upstairs,
the thing. It's
yeah.
a great theater to be in.
So, John, let me ask you this. Why did you do this in the first place? Why did you set out to create this software?
I have almost a New York story here. When I was a piano student, so I have a PhD in software engineering, but I also have a piano degree. And one of my piano teachers was Ruth Slinzinska, tough name to say. She was one of Rachmaninoff's two students. His other was Jeanette Bockhauer, the great concert pianist. And she would tell me, oh, well, Mr. Rachmaninoff would play it like this for me, you know, and this is how you should do it, John. And I thought, it's not fair that she got to hear Rachmaninoff play live, except that he died well before I was born. So as a technologist, I looked at this and said, when the time comes, we're going to approach this problem. I want to sit in the room and viscerally be there and hear Rachmaninoff play. And we're doing that now. And gosh, it's tremendous. It's a goosebump experience.
So given the choice between reanimating the moldering husk of the long-dead composer and doing something about the sound of his recordings, you chose the latter.
Again, it's a commercial process, and it sounds so viscerally spectacular.
All right, so you actually can be in a room mm-hmm. with a piano that is mm-hmm. re-performing mm-hmm. what Rachmaninoff actually did. Have you done that yet?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
How far back can you go? There's that famous minute-long cylinder of Johannes Brahms from the 1880-something.
In our opinion, there's not enough data in that. But we have done wax cylinders of the Spanish composer Isaac Albéniz, and he did three wax cylinders in 1903. And they're dim as can be, and they're completely retrievable. By 1910, the Spanish composer Granados was alive, and 1910 cylinders are wonderful. So 1903 looks a lot about the line.
Okay, so you can go back 105 years mm-hmm. and retrieve that music and
the
have
touch,
the piano.
The pedaling, everything.
Everything. Yeah. All right. I guess this raises a number of kind of philosophical questions as well. One of them being that, you know, human performers make mistakes.
Yes.
If you can identify a mistake in a performance, do you correct it?
At this point, no. And then we have a great story in the Goldberg Variations with Glenn Gould. In Variation 27, he fluffs a note, and they left it in. Gould, the perfectionist, left a fluff in. And in our recording session, our engineer looked at this and said, you don't have the wrong note right. And we stopped the recording session, coded 15 different versions of that little kind of fluffed note, all listened to it in headphones, number 7, that's the right one, took the code for that, put it into the whole thing, and recorded the whole variation. And why had that happened in the recording session? It's because pianos change, you know, in the midst of a day through just wear and humidity and temperature, and we needed to get all the, you know, every little touch we've replicated exactly.
So you had to replicate the mistake
yes,
as well.
But let's do the flip side of that. If we had, you know, things that were rejected for flaws, if we had a Rachmaninoff recording rejected because he fluffed a note, it would be interesting to work with Ruth, his student, and repair it.
Hmm.
And, you know, under a certain level of authority to kind of proceed from there.
All right. You did start this last year before Art Tatum with Glenn Gould, mm-hmm. who was so in love with technology
yes.
that you can only imagine he would have approved. Let's hear a little bit of the original 1955 recording of the Bach-Goldberg Variations by Glenn Gould. Glenn Gould, 1955, at one piano, and then, last year, Glenn Gould, long dead, at a very different piano, same performance, but through the miracle of this Zenf technology, here he is again. Glenn Gould in a re-performance from last year's recording, a re-performance courtesy of the Zenf, you refer to it, John, as HD technology. John Q. Walker is the founder and president of Zenf, and they are presenting their Art Tatum show with Art Tatum's actual re-performances at the Apollo tonight and Sunday night. And I guess a final question, the Boston Herald said, too sterile, superhuman. What's your response?
We're hearing something we've never had a chance to hear before, which is something we're really familiar with from a different perspective. And so, you know, in real life, you can do that. Recordings have always frozen us at the moment and where the mics were at that time. And this ability to be in a different room, in surround sound or in headphones or whatever, didn't exist before. So it's hard to, in a way, for people to compare something they've learned so well with now hearing the same thing, but it sounds different because it's in a different place.
But I missed the surface noise of my old LP.
So keep your LP then. You know, a different layer of this is there's so many kids who've never heard Art Tatum because he died before stereo.
And now they'll have a chance to hear him sort of live tonight and Sunday at the Apollo. John Walker, Zenf Technology. John, thank you so much for being with us on Soundcheck today.
You're welcome, John. I appreciate it.
That'll do it for today's show. On Monday, Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, and Patsy Cline helped define classic country music starting in the 40s. We will peer inside the dark heart of a genre obsessed with drinking, cheating, and redemption. Also Monday, singer-songwriter Jeffrey Lewis talks about his tribute to Crass, the so-called peace-punk cult band from Britain. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Brian Wise and Joel Meyer. Our executive producer is Gisele Regatow. I'm John Schaefer. Have a great weekend and be with us on Monday for the next Soundcheck here at 93.9 FM WNYC.